Amen. You will not regret coming to worship here today in the name of Jesus. You know, this is our Women Week. And there's a special grace women carry. They are so special until both God and Satan is interested in them. When Satan wanted to destroy man, he made Eve to become woe to man. And when God wanted to redeem man, he used a woman. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. The anointing that is flowing now is anointing of restoration. Restoration, restoration. And it is flowing through the women today. It's flowing through the women today. Restoration. Amen. When we went to the camp, we had a session after my exhortation to the women. They asked questions. The men were not there. Some of the questions they asked required the men to be present to hear the answer. And because the men were not around, I couldn't answer. But at least it gave me a picture of how some people live in their homes. And it gave us a picture also to know that some people don't even understand what marriage is all about. Let me read a story in the Bible of the beginning of that union between man and woman. Then from that story, we will see what we want to learn from there within just a few minutes before we close. In Genesis chapter 2, and I read it from verse 4, the story of creation. Chapter 2 from verse 4 is the story of creation, how the creation took place. How chapter 1 came about is summarized in chapter 2. Chapter 2 is not the continuation of chapter 1, as some people tend to read and understand. It's wrong. Chapter 2 explains how chapter 1 came about. Verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward of in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compassed the whole land of Avila, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium, the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. Gihon. The same is it that compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man, that's my emphasis now, and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he will call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall unto Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead of. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Listen carefully. Let the story end so far. I was considering this, and the Lord himself in his wonderful way led me to a comment, a write-up. A man of God, a very popular man of God, tried to look at this area by the name of Miles Murrow, something like that. Full of wisdom. And I learned a lot from the way he looked at it. Because from what we read, there are five things that stand out here that we married men and women need to take note of, and particularly the man. Because I said, the women ask questions, and from those questions they ask, I get to know that many men still have a lot to learn when it comes to marriage. The word Eden, is a Hebrew word for what it means is where God dwells. The place where God dwells. So the first thing we see when he created man, the first thing that God gave man his presence. Every man, the first thing you must first cultivate is to cultivate the presence of God. You must have a relationship with God. The first thing that a man needs is not a woman. Before you marry, you must first have a relationship with God. Seek the presence of God first. And it is when you are in the presence of God. Adam was first in Eden before his woman, his wife, was brought to him. Eve met Adam in Eden. Somebody understand me? Not in the church, oh. Not in the church, oh. The man may be coming to church, but may not be connected to God. Take note of that. Brother, you are looking for wife. You are looking for wife. Have you found God? Find God first before you find a wife. That is the order. That's why I took time to read the story of creation. The next thing that God gave man, that is number two now. The next thing that God gave man after putting him in the garden. Hallelujah. Before the wife never come, after his presence, the next thing God gave Adam was work. God gave Adam work. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Can we read it? Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to do what? To dress it and to keep it. You don't get work, you go find wife. You are out of order. There is a due order for marriage. I preach a message entitled The Due Order. This is another due order for marriage. Work first. That means a man needs a job. Before he gets a wife, you need a job. You need a job. That is God's priority. Number three. Hallelujah. The third thing God told man was cultivate. Cultivate here means bring out the best. See, oh, this is it. It's the order. Bring out the best in everything around you. To maximize the potentials of everything and everyone around you. To make everything fruitful. He only said that to the man. He didn't say it to the woman. It's the man, he said. That is why God will never give a man a finished woman. Before you marry, you are not marrying a woman that is perfect. God designed a woman and left work for the man to do on her. When he eventually marries her. So he gave him the ability, the creative ability to make everything around you bring out its potentials. The potentials are there. It is what you do to bring it out that will make you enjoy even that woman. The male was created by God to create whatever he wants. God made man in his own image. The characteristic of God includes creation. Science is that attribute. Invention is that attribute that God put in us to have the ability to create, invent whatever you want. The woman that you are looking for, brother, listen. The wife you are looking for does not exist anywhere. It doesn't exist anywhere. She exists in your head. She exists in your mind. She exists in your heart. That is where she exists. She's in your head. That woman you meet is a raw material that you have married. You are to cultivate her into the woman in your head. The idea, the desire that you want of a woman is not anywhere. It's not anywhere until you have her. Until you have a woman. So you say you have been married for 30 years. Have been married for 20 years. Have been married for 15 years. And you still don't like that woman. You don't like that product that you have. It is not the woman's fault. It is your own fault. I don't know whether anybody is understanding what I'm saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. The woman you marry, I repeat, that thing that you saw, that character that you saw, whatever attracted you, amen, is only to attract you, because certainly there is more to her character than what you have seen. Anybody that say, I regret this woman I have married. You always complain about the woman you marry. The truth about this, brother, the truth is you are only confessing your inability and your failures. You say, what are you saying? I am saying it is scriptural. Ephesians chapter 5. From verse 25. Can we read it? See the way Apostle Paul brought it up. Let's read it up to verse 33. See what he says. It's a commandment. It's a commandment. Brother, if you catch what I want to say, you will have a beautiful and wonderful marriage, because this is scriptural. I'm speaking from the marriage manual. God instituted marriage, and he has a manual for how to make you enjoy that marriage. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You must love your wife until you are ready to die for her. Until you love her to that level, you are not yet ready for marriage. Don't go and marry a woman that you don't love, or you will not love. Listen. Amen. The woman is not to make you love her. To love her is a commandment from God. To love her is a requirement from you. She is, you are to love her. You are to love her. You are to love her. There is nowhere in the Bible where they say, woman, love your husband. It is the man that is to love. You know why? Because in the marriage, all the giving comes from the man. All the work comes from the man, until the woman is only a helper. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Eh? If you have a helper, who has the job? Is it the man or the woman? Is it the helper or the person that is being helped? Who has the job? Oh, brother, answer me now. Is it the man or the woman that has the job? The helper. Praise the Lord. The man has the job in that marriage. Listen, the man has the job in that marriage. But he cannot do it alone. He needs a companion. He does not need a partner. It's not partnership. He's a helper. And because he's a helper, amen. Anytime somebody helps you do something, what do you do? What do you do? You appreciate her. You continue to appreciate her. That's why he said, love your wife. If you notice, everything there is to the man. It's to the man. It's the man that is to cultivate. It's the man that so loves until you are ready to die for her. Somebody will be thinking, make her die for this woman. Why am I married? Now she won't kill me. No. It's because you have done your job poorly. And that is the product of your input. So if you catch this, somebody here, a man here, you will not quarrel with your wife if she was supposed to do something you told her to do and she didn't help you. She didn't help you to do what you told her to help you. Maybe because she didn't have the time, or maybe because she was tired, she could not cook for you. When she's cooking for you, she is helping you to cook for you. When she is... am I correct? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, it's going to be very difficult for traditional people to understand what I'm talking. But I didn't quote my own culture. I am quoting the culture of the Bible, Christians. We are spiritual Jews. Esther chapter 3 verse 8 again. Let's read it. We are spiritual Jews. We are a peculiar people. We are a chosen generation. He said, and Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. The laws of the Jews, they are different from the laws of the Gentiles. We have our laws. Even concerning certain things. Genesis chapter 35. When they were to go and worship God at Bethel, Jacob knew the reason, the necessity to put away strange gods. Among the things they put away included earrings, included all the nonsense that is not known among the Jews. We are Christians. We have our own way of doing our things. We don't live our life according to our culture. We are transported. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. Trans means move from one place to the other. Transfer from your culture to Christianity. When you are truly transferred, then you will understand that no man, no woman is a slave. No woman, no man is osu. How many have got revelation to that level? Many of us just religion. That's why when you marry a woman, you think you are doing her a favor. No! He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth what? Favor of the Lord. She is a favor to you. Without her, you will suffer. Okay. What did the Bible say? Verse 26. Ephesians chapter 5. If you catch what I'm doing, verse 26, Ephesians chapter 25. Let's read again from verse 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. This is the reason. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. With what? With the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to God. Present it to his in-law. Present it to his mother. Present it to who? To himself. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. He says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. See the way he so loved his church that he gave himself. He gave his time. He gave his effort into doing what? That he might find time and find all the effort to do what? To wash her. To cleanse her. So, if your wife knows the bath, you can bath her. If she's not Sabi bath, then you should bath her. Is Christ not bathing you every day with his word? Praise God. Okay. Sister, don't go and lie down there and say, Pastor said you should bath me. So that's what, from that scripture we are catching. Hallelujah. It is your responsibility. Especially in this modern time, where most of us marry from different cultures. We have differences in culture, in language, in tradition, and things like that. There are things that you are brought up with. Your wife will come and may not know how to eat, cook that very delicacy from your place. I see a lot of effort being put by mothers teaching the women how to cook, so that when you go home, you will learn how to cook. You will learn how to this. That's okay. That is according to tradition. The truth about it is not her mother that will teach her how to cook. It is not her mother that will teach her how to sweep the house. It is not her mother that will teach her how to keep the home. It is you. The responsibility is you after marriage. You are laughing. It's the Bible now. Am I telling you my culture? Am I telling you my idea? He said, Bible said that is how you should do it. You are the one to make her acceptable to what you desire of your kind of wife. Teach her how to receive visitors. Teach her. Teach her. Go and meet teachers. You don't drive it. There are students that learn fast. And there are some that learn slow. And there are some that refuse to learn. But they are students still. Sorry, men. I have spoken to the women. I don't tell them they are old for camp. I finished their own. I comb every area of a woman. Now I'm facing you now because you are not in the camp. Because you need to hear some things. Unfortunately, there is no time for me to say all. But the smaller we say, we help somebody enjoy your marriage in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I repeat, please have this at the back of your mind. If you never knew it until today, your assignment in a marriage includes working on that woman you have married to be what you have desired in your mind. I wanted a woman that would be like this, that would be like this, that would be like this, that would be like this. That was in your head. Now the product, the raw material has been given to you. She's now your wife. The job of cultivating her into that which you desire of a woman is in your hands. It's in your hands. That is the third thing we learn from what we just read. Or rather, the second thing we learn. Is it the third? Yes, the third. And this includes, if your wife is putting too much weight, you don't like fat woman, you don't criticize her. You don't yab her. It is your job to do everything to shape her up. Wake her up 5 a.m. after morning prayer. You follow her and jog and do some aerobics. Wake her up. Go to the internet and search the diet that will slim her. And if your wife is getting too skinny for your like and you like fat people, don't begin to criticize. You have to pale, crayfish like this, stockfish, dry, everything. No, now it's your responsibility to make her fat. When I married my wife, she was not like this. Now my work. Amen. Give her food that will make her fat. And before you know what, the body will come back. If you don't like her dress, the way she dresses, take her to a boutique. Take her for shopping and select the type of dress. Call the tailor to your house. Take her there. Tell them the type of dress that you want. If she cannot speak better, good English, then you be her teacher or put her in a correspondence college. put her in adult education school. Buy books for English. Send her to school. If you want an educated wife, you send her to school and pay her tuition, pay her school fees, buy everything for her. Create time. As you take children, they go to school. Take your wife, they go to school. When she close, carry and come back. Number four, I told you there are only five. Number four, the fourth thing that God said to man, by implication, is that he was to guard, protect the garden. The man has to take care of everything under his care, protect everything that is under his care, including that woman. That is why the woman, the man is stronger than the woman. That's why he gave you those biceps, those muscles. That builds. It's not for you to scare the woman and be beating her with them. It is to protect her. It's not for you to be abusing her with it. It's not for you. You see a man, and worse still that he's a Christian, and will carry your hand and beat a woman under any provocation. It's a sign of weakness. And protection here is not only protection, not just physical, it's just symbolic. You are to protect your wife from every danger, including the hostilities of her in-laws, your own relations, including your father and your mother. You know your family more than she does, and you know what they can do. It is your responsibility to protect her. Protect her from hostile relations. Protect her from neighbors. Protect her. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Number five. The last thing God gave man was his word. It was his word. He gave the man the word. It was not the woman, it was the man he gave the word. He gave the man the word so that he would teach the woman. And that is why women are not ordained into the leadership offices of the fivefold ministry. That's why there is no woman apostle. The word is given to the man because it is the responsibility of the man to teach the woman. The man is the head of the woman, and the woman cannot teach her head. That is the due order. That's why there's nothing like woman pastor, woman evangelist, and all that, woman bishop, woman GO, woman, all this. The due order. I tell you now, the due order. The woman, the man is the head of the woman. That's what Apostle Paul tried to say. The reason why he cannot teach, permit a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A woman is therefore naturally made, always wanting to learn. Wanting to learn. Even you discover in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 34 where he says, let the woman learn in silence, but permit not the woman to teach. He said, okay, to speak. He said, if it is not permitted unto them to speak, let your women keep silence in the churches. Keep silence, keep silence. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also said the Lord. Verse 35. Hear what he say. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Anything at all you will learn, the woman is designed to learn. The woman is designed to be a student of her husband. She has a nature to receive, to learn. That is why there's nothing as frustrating. Nothing frustrates a woman like when she asks her man any question. I want to do this. So, what do you think? What do you think? She wants to hear your input. She wants to hear your opinion. And then you come and keep quiet. He's asking you something. Say, Then you carry your phone. You then look. You have finished that woman. When the anger in her come out, you are the cause of that frustration. When she asks, she wants to learn. And the ability to learn is in her. God designed it that way. Praise the Lord. Every time she's around you, she's looking for knowledge or she's looking for direction concerning the children, concerning, and don't abdicate your position to the woman. Don't leave the woman to take the decisions. She always, even if she makes the decision, she wants to make sure she has your approval. And the approval comes by way of commendation. The approval comes by way of the comments you make that shows your approval. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So now, I borrowed this word from Miles Murrow. What did he say? He said, now watch this. Watch it. In verse 18, so that you understand this statement now. It is not good for the man to be alone. It is not good for the man to be alone. Hallelujah. Don't just read it like that. Read it carefully. Read it carefully. It is not good for the man. That's a reference point. The man to be alone. Which man is that the man? From what we read and from what I'm saying here, it is the man who is always in God's presence. The man who has a good job, who is hard working, who has a job. The man that can cultivate a woman. The man that can protect a woman. The man that can teach a woman. It is not good for that man to be alone. But now watch it. But if you meet a man who doesn't like God's presence and is not working and he cannot cultivate a woman and cannot protect a woman and cannot teach a woman, then it is good that that man be alone. Am I saying something? The man that does not like the presence of God, is not converted, doesn't like prayers, doesn't like anything spiritual. Sit out, homo, no work. Has nothing to bring out something good out of you. Cannot encourage you to do anything in your career to achieve a potential that is in you. He cannot even protect you. The in-laws come and finish you anyhow. The neighbors treat you anyhow. Anybody can just come and treat your wife anyhow, treat the woman anyhow. Doesn't have any ability to teach you. You have nothing to learn from that man. It is not good for that man to marry. That man should be alone. So you see the qualification as single brother, including you, the married brother. Don't just go and pick a woman that you don't love. Because it is love that worked this out for you. You tell a woman loves to be loved. A woman wants love around her. That's why she can easily be seduced. Once she finds herself in an environment of love, she cannot leave that place. No woman would think of leaving a man that she has assured of her, of his love all around her. She will remain. Even if they chase her, she will run and come back. Anyone, therefore, that falls short of this expectation from God, correct it and enjoy your marriage. We are to live our lives for our families, for the woman, for the family, for them. And I always tell you, it is what you give the woman that she will produce for you. In fact, anything you give a woman, she will produce it doublefold for you. It's what you give her. If you give her nonsense, she will give you shit. If you give her fire, she will give you bomb. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You make her uncomfortable at home, she will make the home hell for you. That's the truth. This what you give her, she will give you. All these men that accuse their wives, you are giving me girl. I want to bore you. No, but you give her girl, she's only carrying it for you. It is actually the woman that should be warning you. Come on, you don't give me three girls. The next one, if you don't give me boy, I'm not going to grill. But you see the reverse culture, cultural ignorance. Now you put her there. Now what do you put and she vomit for you? Stop disturbing a woman because she's giving you girl only or boy only. And if she's not giving you not anything, now you don't put something there. If you put something there, now what do you put? Now she will give you. Stop disturbing that innocent woman. And may God help all of us. May you enjoy your marriage. In Jesus' name. Can we stand up? Hallelujah.